Ja, herzlich willkommen wieder zum Private Investor Relations Podcast. Mein Name ist Christian Drastil, ich bin der Host dieses Channels auf Audio CD.at und mein heutiger Gast ist Manolis Kontos. Er ist CEO der Austriacard, die seit 2023 an den Börsen in Wien und Athen gelistet ist. Und in englischer Sprache geht es jetzt darum, was ein wenig die Equity-Story des Unternehmens betrifft und wie Austriacard aufgestellt ist. Eine Börse-People-Folge mit Manolis Kontos wird in den kommenden Tagen gesendet. Aber jetzt steigen wir mal ein in die Aktie und in Investor Relations. Welcome to my small studio, Manolis. Your last interview was for CNN, Chris. It's a pleasure to have you here.
It's great to be with you.
Thank you. Looking forward
to our discussion.
In Vienna in March 2023 starts another journey, the IPO of Austriacard Holdings in Vienna and in Greece, in Athens. And when did your personal journey with Austriacard start and in which position?
So as I came over to Inform Lycos back in 2018, I stayed in that role for almost four or five years. So, and then as soon as the company, the group now, Austriacard Holdings, as you said, got listed in 2023, I also moved over here in Vienna. So I was the deputy CEO by then, and I moved over to Vienna so I could also start in the transition as being the successor of the previous CEO. So for that reason, I moved with the family here. I started living here in Vienna, so it was the first time I was living in this part of the world, which is very interesting, and I enjoyed a lot being here in the market and being here in this country. It has a lot of, potential for me to, from here, to be able to access a lot of markets that we are working with. It's a very central location, so from that point of view, it was a great move for us. So as soon as you said, we got the company listed in both the stock exchange, the rationale behind it is because Austriacard was already the holding of the Inform Lycos business, but it was not listed. Inform Lycos, on the other side, was a listed company in the Athens Stock Exchange. So that's why we decided to also list the group in the Vienna Stock Exchange, but keep the listing in Athens. So it was like a technical cross-border listing that took place. And the reason that we wanted to be listed in the Vienna Stock Exchange is because for us, we want to also make clear to the investor community that we are an Austrian headquartered company. It is important for us to keep this presence and footprint that we have here. And it was a signal to the market that we continue being present here. And it's interesting at this point to mention that Austriacard became originally part of the group through the Greek company back in 2007. Yeah. So one of the commitments that the major shareholder did back then was that he would keep the presence and the head office being in Vienna. So now that we got listed, it's an absolute proof of that. And also it makes sense because from visibility and from an engagement point of view, it makes a lot of sense to have our head office here in Vienna and being listed in the Vienna Stock Exchange because we are not a company that just started from Greece. We are a company that we are proud that started from Greece but has managed now to have presence and have people from US all the way to South Africa. Mm. So now it's a really international company that we are running here.
You have chosen a big segment, continuously trading in the ATX Prime. It's a strong presence on the Vienna Stock Exchange. For the investors who do not know Austriacard Holdings in detail, a short investment story for your company, please.
So it's a company that if you ask anyone living in Austria, will have one of our products in his wallet. Yeah. So because we already, the company has been in Austria. It was back then owned by the Central Bank of Austria. So it worked historically with all the Austrian banks and has followed their journey of expansion and getting out of the territory of Austria and getting all the way to Central and Eastern Europe. So it's a company that has been known for years for the card products, That's why the name is also Austria Card up to now. And as I said, all the citizens here in Austria have one of our products. And if you look in the behind, in the back of one of your cards that you use the bankomat, let's say, you will see the name of Austria Card. People don't notice it. When I tell them that, they say, ah, interesting. I didn't realize that this is a card that is produced by Austria Card. So when...
Is there a stamp or a sign on the
card?
Yeah,
it is, okay. It is, yes, written. Okay. It's written in the back. Yeah. You will see, because it is a mandatory thing.
Everyone has to look now. Thank you for the short pause. Yes. Okay. Yes.
So what I would like to say about Austria Card and the journey that we have embarked on and how we have been now able to transform, let's say, this organization and build on the foundation that it had and the trusted relationships that it has with all these financial institutions over the course of the years. We have decided in the course of the recent years to evolve into a more holistic service provider and have... now in our portfolio, technology embedded in the solutions that we offer. So now you need to imagine an organization that up to now was just providing the product, which is the card, but now is able to complete the whole journey. So meaning that if you want to become a customer of the bank, we have the platforms and solutions to onboard you on the bank, the know your customer process. We are able, obviously, to issue now the card. We are able now to personalize this card and also do all the analysis of the transactions by using technology in order to be able to get meaningful decisions out of this. So the same goes with identity cards, because what the company is really doing is providing end-to-end solutions for citizens and for banking institutions. So, and the cards can be means for payment or can be means for authentication. So this is what the company is doing. Providing the means of authentication for citizens or the means for payment, again, for the end users. So we are now getting more and more in this direction where we are able to offer more embedded technology solutions. And one of our recent, let's say, investments that we have done is also on the artificial intelligence side, where we are using technology in order to automate processes, make, let's say, the life of people easier, release time for them to focus on what counts. We are not using technology to replace the person. We are using technology to give them the tools that are needed so they can do more meaningful and not trivial work.
Now let's do a short word wrap. You have a cooperation with Dell.
Yes.
Big brand from the USA. Just a few words about it, please.
Yeah. So we recently launched a new, let's say, solution product, which is combining technology with a product. So in this case, the solution is called GAB Appliance. Mm-hmm. So GAB Appliance comes from the generative AI solution that we offer. That's where the name GAB comes from. And the partnership with Dell is a vote of confidence for such an organization that what we have developed is really worth it. If you see an organization like Dell being okay, let's say, to co-launch such a product, it is a vote of confidence that our teams have really developed something that's very interesting. And what is this? It is providing generative AI in a box, which means that it's on a control environment. It's not in the open cloud. It's on either private cloud or on-premise. So you get all the benefits and all, you know, the tools that you need to use the technology, but without having the risk of your data being out there in the open. Okay. So what this GAB appliance is that it has pre-installed our software on the Dell servers. So now any organization, from large organizations, even to small, medium-sized organizations, are able to get access to this technology without having to invest hugely. And it's scalable, and you can start small and you can grow. So this is a great innovation that we are bringing to the market. We just launched it. So we are also planning in the next few months to do some launch events in various countries. We are starting from Greece, but we will be rolling it also to other markets like here in Austria or Romania or UK, where we'll be talking more and more about this. So we have a lot of expectations out of this. We know a lot of people will say that they are offering AI, but I believe the biggest differentiator for us is that we are offering AI in a secure environment and in a way that is accessible not only for large organizations, but also for small and medium-sized organizations.
I also find a payment solution and BioCard in your portfolio. BioCard, I have an idea. What is the meaning of the N?
Yes. So BioCard is started as an idea for payment, but I would say that it has evolved in the recent years to be more on the authentication side. So a lot of our competitors also launch in part of the innovation, you know, in our portfolio. We not only have the standard plastic cards, we also have metal cards. We also have these biometric cards, as you mentioned. But in my view, this type of innovation, especially on the biometric side, is more on the citizen authentication side. Mm-hmm. So if you want to be able to prove that you're you and you didn't take my ID and you go around and pretend it's me by having a biometric card which has your fingerprint, let's say, in order to be able to use it and authenticate yourself, especially for biometric cards that are now including a chip, which has much more information. And what I see as a trend is that a lot of organizations are looking now to combine payment with identity and also be able to sign documents electronically with this identity card. So the journey that we see that we're going to be embarking on is using this type of technology more on the authentication of citizens and being able to authenticate yourself and sign documents electronically by having this type of biometric card. Also, you will see that we are mentioning card as a service, as a solution. I would say that one of our biggest channels that we serve on top of the, you know, the traditional banks that we already work with is the neobanks, as we call them. So the neobanks, which are mainly the likes of Revolut and N26 and Monzo and Starling, so all these neobanks.
And also the neobrokers. Like
the neobrokers, yes, exactly. Okay. Trade Republic and all this, yes. Yeah. So all this channel, we have been with this channel from its establishment somehow.
You're a partner of the next generation.
Yes. Okay. So we helped a lot of these neobanks at their establishment in order to be able to launch their program, get the first card. So now we are able to also jointly with them see the growth of their market share and get a piece of that growth by serving them. So it was a very wise choice that we decided when others thought it was not worth to spend time in supporting the launches of these neobanks. But now we see that even the big banks are really copying what these neobanks are doing. So this is helping a lot the group in its growth potential. The neobanks have the benefit that they have no borders. So when other banks, you know, in order to be able to trade, they need, you know, point of contacts or, you know, locations where the citizen has to go and transact. The neobanks can be set up in London, for example, but be able to trade internationally. So we see that neobanks is also a channel that we can offer more services. This is where the card as a service comes, because the neobanks don't have big organization internally in IT, especially in the beginning, to do all the, you know, the setups needed. So we go and offer to them also turnkey solution. So we help them launch a program. We can get them in touch with Visa and Master. We can get them the IBAN. We can give them processing. We can give them the card, which is what we have been giving them from the beginning, and also help them with the transactions and the analytics of their transactions. So this is why we call it card as a service. So we offer the card, but with a lot of complementary services around it.
I think it's a nice aspect of your Austriacard investment story, because it's not so easy to invest in the neobanking scene and in the neobrokerage. Yeah, and then Austriacard is a play you can add to your portfolio if you want. I will bring with you figures, facts and figures. Employees, the size of Austriacard holdings.
We are proud to say that we are a big employer now. We are becoming a big employer. So we started, let's say, as we said, from Greece originally, then we came into Austria, and from Austria we started expanding internationally. So I believe that the real international journey started from the time that Austriacard was part of the group back in 2007. So now we have around 2,500 employees internationally. We have people that are all the way from US all the way to South Africa. We have around, let's say, three main factories that we produce, let's say, the smart cards, as we call them. We have one here in Austria. We have in Romania.
Nice to hear. Yeah.
Yes. We have one in UK, so we have quite a good footprint, European footprint. We have 9 personalization centers. What is a personalization center? Is where your card is becoming personal, meaning that has your information on it. It's not just a blank card, but you also have all your data there. These personalization centers are, again, in to be able to be closer to the market and when the business is taking place. And we issue quite a large number of cards. We issue around 130 million cards, annually.
Personalized,
all of them
every year.
Every year, yes. Wow. So that way you can are able to transact or be able to authenticate yourself. So we believe that we are going to continue in this path into expanding our presence and having, more footprint. So having an origin from here, but I would say the Austrian market, we like it or not, is not the biggest market. So although the companies is registered here, most of this business is international, I would say. So it has its origin here. A lot of know-how, a lot of R&D is happening here in Vienna. But the actual business is out there in the Middle East, in Turkey, in US, in Africa, in Europe, where we have a strong footprint. But our growth potential is also from the new markets that we are under-indexed, underrepresented. So we are investing in people that are based closer to the markets, and we keep the know-how and the IP in certain centers. As I said, Vienna is one of them, where all the secure technology and hardware and embedded security is dealt here from experts. We have strong partnerships with all the semiconductor suppliers, which trust us in developing new solutions and testing new security protocols. So Austriacard, what we have to keep in mind, is an organization that has a very deep know-how in hardware and embedded security, which means that how to encrypt information on a smart card in the most safe way, and because you're dealing with money at the end of the day when you're using the card to transact. Either that is a printed card or a virtual card.
I presented you as the Deputy Chief Executive Officer in time of the IPO in March 2023. March 2024, you are the Group CEO. And let's talk about investor relations. We are now here in Vienna in my studio. If an Austrian investor hears this and wants to contact the company, how are you positioned in investor relations?
So we are quite active, I would say, in this investor space. To be honest, there is more education that we need to do as far as the investor community is concerned. I would say that we're quite well known in the Athens Stock Exchange because the company or its affiliate has been known for quite a number of years.
Because of the route from Greece,
yes. Here in Austria, I would say that since we got listed a few years back, we are now engaging more and more in investor relation conferences, either that they are here or in UK or Frankfurt or wherever. So that way we can be approached by potential investors. We see ourselves as a company that is interested in investing for the long run. So we are, because we have a heritage of performance, which is quite healthy and strong. We have the right foundations. So we are implementing our strategy in this direction of being a holistic service provider on the citizen identity and payment solutions. And we believe that we have a lot of way to go still.
I will link the investor relations zone of your homepage in the show notes of this episode. And the stock trades in a corridor. And last days it went up a little bit. And you sounded optimistic for the future in your last statements with the youngest figures.
Yes.
A few words about it now.
Absolutely. So if we look up to last year at the group financials, we will see double-digit growth recorded both in the revenue line and also in the profit line. So this is in the back of implementing the strategy that has to do with these main pillars, which has to do with geographical expansion, product and portfolio development, and holistic service provider. This year we had turbulence, let's say it as it is, from the Turkish market. Because the Turkish market, although it had grown for us around 50% CAGR growth in the recent years, this was a year of adjustment. because of the levels of cards that the Turkish banks had there, they decided to go and adjust their holding of cards, and this impacted a lot the replenishment that we are doing for that market. Turkey is a big market for us. It's ranking in the first 3-4 positions as far as size, contribution for the group. So the fact that the Turkish market had a slowdown, this impacted the first half of the year. So that's where the investors were a bit concerned, because when you see a performance that has been always double-digit growing and suddenly you see a decline in the first half, they wanted to step back a bit and see what's going on. Is this temporary, or is this going to be, we're going to put it behind us? We issued our results this month, this week, and we already showed that from the third quarter, we are going back to growth. Mm-hmm. Because now we absorbed, we saw the, you know, the impact of Turkey being absorbed in the first half, and from the third quarter, we're already picking up. And we are optimistic in the quarters to come and in the years to come. So this was just a temporary phase that we had to go through, and we remain confident that the strategy that we have chosen to implement is the right one, and we remain optimistic as far as the growth of the company, both from a top line, but more important also from a profit perspective, because the move that we are doing to offer more services has a better margin profile also. So this will also improve the ratios of the EBITDA and net profit on performance on sales because of the improved portfolio mix, mm-hmm. more on the service side and less on the product.
What I also like is the activity on directors' dealings the managers do, and it's a strong signal to the market every time. Ja, danke, Manolis. Das war die heutige Folge 7 des Private Investor Relations Podcast. Tschüss und Baba.